So, we're in Perek Vav and Zayin, and I'm going to discuss something very, very Kabbalistic, but I want you to see how this is just a Kabbalistic terminology, like Reb Chaim gave us terminology, is a Kabbalistic terminology for something we think about a lot. We think about the following question. We're living in a world in which there's a clear, let's say division, I want to say dichotomy, but there's actions which clearly place us in a worship of Hashem mode, learning Torah, performing mitzvahs, doing chesed, and the physical actions for survival, eating, sleeping, drinking, procreating, whatever those activities are. And how do you infuse or inspirit non-religious, non-ritual activities with religious meaning? Okay, so in our minds, it's orientation, right? Now, the orientation can either be very, very specific. I am eating my Thanksgiving dinner so that I could come to shiur tomorrow and have a great shiur and listen to the most difficult shiur of the year, really understand. Or it could be a general macro orientation. It's not like every single minute I have to think I'm eating this turkey l'shem shamayim so that tomorrow I can understand the greatest year ever. But I am a healthy person. Healthy people eat. Healthy people have social activities. Healthy people have cultural meaning. So since I want to be a healthy, well-rounded person, and generally that's the way we function. So it's not like, oh my goodness, so yeah, when you ate every kernel of cocoa pebbles, did you have kavana that each cocoa pebble should help you understand another line of the shem shamayim? I don't know. Cocoa pebbles taste good. You like have things that taste good. It makes you feel good about yourself. And if you eat cornflakes, your whole life will be very drab. So no insult intended to the cornflakes fans here in the group. Okay. And it's only not on Thanksgiving because the Indians can be angry or making fun of their maids. But, okay, assuming you're not insulting, and don't cancel me. Don't all of a sudden call all the cancel beer. Retirees making fun of cornflakes on Thanksgiving. Right? But either way, so we eat our cocoa pebbles because we like them. Now, it's all just psychology and orientation and attitude. Here, it's Kabbalah. And there's a whole system that you're part of because you're operating on many, many levels and you're affecting the world. Remember, Kabbalah, you're not just affected by the overall system, but you affect the system. And you'll see how, in your activity, in your eating, you can make a major change in the universe. Okay, so to help set that up, let's remind ourselves what we talked about last time. This was two times ago. We said that there's something called a klipa. And that klipa, because nothing can be sustained without Hashem. So everything in this world is sustained by Kadosh Baruch Hu, but some aspects that don't have the full force of Hashem's essence because they haven't opened themselves to Hashem's essence because there's still some barrier to Hashem's essence. We'll see what those things are. So there, the Or Hashem is hard to discern. It's covered by a lot. It's not so discernible. We call those klipas. Okay, so let's just pick up with page 20, the first page. I've already started just to give some momentum from last time. And he says, okay, that everything has the essence of Hashem, even if it's just a klipa, four lines from the bottom. Okay, toch osa, five lines from the bottom, toch osa, davar hanifrad. The Or Hashem has to infuse even that thing that's separate from Hashem, it's not nidbak Hashem, l'achayos l'kaimo, because otherwise it wouldn't exist. Nothing in this world could exist without Hashem creating it, nor without Hashem sustaining it by infusing it. Me'ayin l'yesh, because Hashem had to create it ex nihilo. That's where non-Kabbalists stop. Hashem created it, that's it. I don't know how Hashem continues to infuse it. But Mekubalim say, shelo yachzer lios ayin v'efes kivitchila. If Hashem wouldn't constantly sustain this by His essence, then it would just disappear, because there's no reality aside from Hashem. It doesn't exist. So anything that exists has to constantly be sustained by Hashem. But it's not davar shebekedusha, so it's davar shebeklipa. It's a slow, low-lying ebb of Hashem's essence. Kivatchila, v'lechein nikra olam hazeh umelo. Second to last line, this is the summary. Haklipos v'sitra achra. Klipos means there's a covering, it's hard to see the Or Hashem. Sitra achra means it accepts Hashem from the achorayim, not from the panayim. Okay, a lot of people get that wrong. Sikra achra is like the other side, the dark force is now achorayim, not panim, not the front. Okay, now, here's the key point. There are two layers to klipos. There are three very, you don't need to know the names and the positioning, but there are three very, 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 very low layer klipos, and those have no redeemable elements to them, and those are untouchable and shouldn't be engaged in. Okay, let's read this together. Shaklipos, now page Yud Aleph. Hey, nechlakos l'shtei madregas. There are two different layers. Zulamata mizu. Hamadrega tachtona, the lowest level of klipos, he shalosh klipos hatmeos, rose legamri. These are the tmeos, rose legamri, total rose. They still have the essence of Hashem, but there's nothing you can affect in them. You can't change anything. And if anything, if you engage in those klipos, then you are giving physical, I'm not just meaning physical, as in maisa, machshav, and dibur, you're giving embodiment to these elements that have a very, very low and irredeemable part of Hashem. Okay, what comes from those klipos? So look at the next underline. Umehen nishbaos v'nimshachos nafshos kol umos ovdei gilulim gayim. And remember, there's a lot to talk about here, how the Tanya saw non-Jews. It's certainly very, very different from our view, but I don't want to, it's a whole different conversation. But for our purposes, v'nafshos kol ba'alechayim hatemeim v'yasurim b'achila. So anything that's aser, a pig, basar b'chalav, adavar hanador, anything that would be aser, is something that emanates from those klipos, which means that if I engage in those, then no matter what my kavana is, I'm giving physical embodiment to those lowest three layers where there's nothing of Kedusha. Of course, there's an essence of Hashem, but there's nothing that I can take and move up the hierarchy, move up the spiritual ladder. As opposed to, okay, Perek Zayin, okay, there's a level four, not level one, two, three, but level four of klipa, which he calls Noga, based on the Zohar, this is all based on Zohar, that has a mixture of Tov and Ra. It's a very important concept in Chassidus. And I use the word, you'll see in Chassidus a lot, and the problem is with people that read Chassidus, they don't know that discussing, right? The biggest problem is that Sfas Emes is written so clearly that you just quote it as a Dvar Torah at your Shabbos table. But every other word has Kabbalistic connotations. And people are just quoting the Sfas Emes, not knowing that they're touching on deep Kabbalistic ideas and just describing them as if they're giving the Torah that I would give you. So I'll talk about a word that's very, very important in Chassidus, but to understand this, you have to see this parak. That highest level, or that fourth level of klipos, is a mixture. From that level, line number three, nafshos behemos chayos ofos dagim taharim umutarim bachila. So now we have experiences that are mutter, not that are usher. So a pig, or something that's usher, comes from those three lower levels of klipos, and eating them can't make any change because all you're doing is you're just, what we would call, is amplifying or reinforcing those klipos by giving them physical embodiment. But if I eat a cow, if I eat a turkey, if I eat Thanksgiving dinner, so those are from fourth level klipos, and they have tov v'ra in them. So the question is, how do I eat them? Do I eat them l'shem shemayim? So I'm taking the tov and I'm raising it to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I'm being, here's the key word, I'm being mevarer the tov from ra. That's one of the 10 most important words in Chassidus, mevarer. You'll see the word berurim, mevarer. So when I'm eating, I'm being mevarer the light of Hashem from within those klipos, and I'm restoring them to the upper tiers of Kedusha, if I'm eating l'shem shemayim. If I'm not eating l'shem shemayim, even though I'm eating something which is mutter, then I'm remaining in that fourth level klipa, which isn't as bad as eating a pig, but certainly is not taking out the nitzotzos of Hashem and raising them up to the world of Kedusha. So let's read this together, then I'll tell you how this changes the chassid's experience, okay? So he says, these are things that are mutter, page Yud Aleph, second picture, Raksha Enim L'Shem Shemayim. These are not parts that Hashem gave you as mitzvah. So Ratzon HaGuf, your body needs food, your body needs drink, your body needs hygiene, your body needs whatever it needs. Okay. V'hakol, now we're on page 22. Hakol kasher lakol. Okay. Everything in this world that's not aser. Nishba v'nimshach mimadrega hashniya shebeklipos. That second layer of klipos, what we call the fourth layer, but not the bottom three, but the second story of klipos, madrega hashniya shebeklipos. Okay. And it's called Noga, line number four. Okay. Rak me'atov me'urav b'sacho. You see that line? Since it's klipos, it's not like tefillin, it's not like matzah, it's not like sukkah. There's a little bit of tov in there. Upa'amim, next underline, shehi nechlalas vi'ola b'pchino madregas ha'kedusha. Sometimes you can raise that tov to a higher level of kedusha. Da'ayinu k'shatov ha'me'urabo, when the tov that's mixed in, nisbar me'harak, it's separated from the ra. V'gover v'ola v'nichlal b'kedusha. K'gon davar mashal. Here's an example. Dalad men. Ha'ocha bisra shemena d'tur. You eat this delicious turkey. You're talking about meat, but they didn't eat turkey. But delicious turkey. V'shal se'yayin b'vusam. And you drink wine that's delicious. L'harchiv daita l'ashem. To be in a better mood, to have better ideas, to be more healthy. L'taraso. Okay? Or you say a joke. Okay. The case is definitely not as funny as I am, right? And say a joke. And you say the joke, v'chein ha'omra milsa de b'dichusa. You say something funny. L'fakech daito, to open your mind. L'samech libo, to make your heart happy. L'Hashem v'l'terasa, so that you can be happier and feel closer to Hashem and understand the sugya better. So there you're being mevarer, okay, you're being mevarer the tov and raising it up to the Kedusha. Five lines from the bottom. Ach mishu b'zole basa, you just eat your turkey because you want to taste well. Al zeh, next line, yored chirs habasar vayen shebekirbo. So then you are not just not raising the tov that's morbo, but you are embodying these the fourth level of noga, and you're passing up order of potential to raise the tov that's in this food and this experience to a higher level. This is fundamental chassidus, and it's very different from the way we lead our lives, and it's different in two ways. Number one is because, as I said before, we're more macro experientialists, they're more micro experientialists. So I don't think when you ate turkey last night, you were saying, I'm eating this turkey so that tomorrow at 9 o'clock I'll follow shir better. You're eating the turkey because you want a healthy lifestyle, and we believe that a healthy lifestyle will lead to a healthy form of avodas Hashem. But chassidim will be much more laser focused on connecting activities to spiritual yields. Okay? Number two, it's different because it's not rational, right? You said last night I'm eating turkey, so that rationally I'll have a better shir tomorrow, whether it's micro or macro. Macro, you're saying, well, rationally be a healthier person, more tuned to my culture, or micro, I'll be stronger tomorrow to eat. Whether you're micro or macro, it's still rational. Whereas chassidus is cosmological. I'm involved in the larger system, and I don't know the rules, so I'm going to follow the rules very, very carefully because I can't analyze them. I know there's a whole system, and that system is based on klipos, and klipos have the essence of Hashem, and if I eat the right way, I'm making a change to the universe. So you're putting yourself into a very, very different system where you're not the author, and it's not human psychology, it's cosmology. Now, cosmology and psychology stack, right? And we think that what I feel inside of me reflects what's happening in the universe, but it's part of a larger picture. Okay? How does this affect us? I don't know if we're going to talk about chassidus so much this year. I think that even if you're not a chassid, and you don't practice chassidus, you don't practice Kabbalah, the last line I just used is supremely important. There's a larger story we're part of. And sometimes we can become so narrow in our focus and so scientific and empirical in our experience that we think that it's our world and it's our story and it's our narrative and it's our decisions and it's bechira chavshus and humanistic. And sometimes to let loose and realize you're part of something larger and you have an ability to impact something larger, not just your life, but if I can impact the cosmos because I'm part of a cosmological machinery and my decisions and my actions are going to have not just historical importance, we're going to have cosmological importance. It's a different frame of mind. And Kabbalah and Chassidus, even if you're not a practicing Mekubal or practicing Chassid, can give you different flavors, different frequencies, different layers to your experience. So even if you're not practicing Kabbalah, there's an awareness, there's a depth, there's a breath to it, to your davening, to know that I'm not just davening so that Hashem will send me what I want. I'm davening because my tefillah is going to make a change in some larger cosmic formula. So that means that even if I don't have kavana, I know there's meaning to my davening. Or even if I don't understand the words, there's meaning to that being one time. It's a different way to view life. And also the macro. I think the danger of being macro is that sometimes you lose sight of the purpose, right? And a lot of people, you know, I'm going to college. Why are you going to college? Well, there are two reasons to go to college, and only two reasons for Ben Tor to go to college. Number one, instrumentally, you need to earn a living. Number two, you feel that college will enhance you. It has to be a sefer to that, so that you'll be a better Ovid Hashem. Okay, now every person can choose personal enhancement, how they deem it will help them be a better Ovid Hashem. But so often when we're at macro orientation, if we're macro orienters, we lose sight of the end goal. If you're a micro orienter, every single thing you do has to be directly related to Avodas Hashem. So you're in a much tighter Avodas Hashem vector. Remember when I was in graduate school, I went to study literature because I believe that literature really helped me understand myself and helped me understand the world, helped me understand the students I wanted to teach one day. And in my opinion, it did. It was a worthwhile investment. And I remember at one point we were studying this author, late 19th century English author, William Blake. And William Blake, along with his poetry, also had illuminations. And his illuminations were very tawdry. They were very uncouth, his pictures. And I was sitting in the classroom, and I was listening to the presentation, and the teacher kept holding up these illuminations, and they were paintings. They weren't pictures, but it's just like kept hiding my eyes and looking there. At some point, I like ran to the bathroom, and I threw up. It was just so hard for me to accept. And it's like, I had my Rivka moment. It actually wasn't Parshas Tov. Like, Lama Zanochi, what am I doing? And then I realized that for me to appreciate literature, I can't just study it episodically. I can't just pick this line in Shakespeare or this line in Milton. I need to understand how the entire system unfolded and what role he played and how people picked up. Again, I was very uncomfortable in that room, but So here I was involved in a macro project, and I had to always remind myself, what am I doing this for? I'm doing this so that I can understand literature better and be an Oved Hashem, as opposed to someone who's micro, just give me the three lines in Matthew Arnold that Rav Lichtenstein quoted, I'll read those three lines, and I'll be a better Oved Hashem. And give me the five words that the Rav quoted, that would be a micro, and I'm not in any way denigrating that. But I think we tend to be more macro-orienters, and when you're a macro-orienter, you always have to remind yourselves, where is this all heading? Is there a purpose? Even if it's a macro purpose. So you're in college, and part of being in college is getting along with, let's say you're in a secular college, getting along with non-Jews there. Okay, that's great. It's part of the college experience. You want to be Mekadesh Shem Shammai. You feel that college will enhance you. But at what point do you go too far? At what point, you're holding a flag at the basketball game, at the Yale basketball game, all of a sudden that's part of your Avodas Hashem. Like at some point, macro-orienters have to decide what their limits are and at what point the root becomes too detached from the goal for Avodas Hashem. Whereas when you're a chassid, you're very, very much in the saddle every moment. Okay, it's lunchtime. Okay, how do I eat today so that I'll be a better Oved Hashem in the next 5 minutes? So these are the two parts of today's shiur that I think, and in general, I hope this has opened your mind to a world that you may not practice, and I don't practice it, but it really helps me orient myself and see myself in a certain context, and it filters into my non-Kabbalistic experience in ways that really enhance me. Okay? Great. Okay, maybe we'll have some time.